Thomas versus Barnhart, Mr. Parkman.
If it pleases the court, my name is Stephen Parkman on behalf of the appellant Russell Thomas. Mr. Thomas is seeking a remand of his Social Security disability claim. He asserts there were three failures of the Social Security Administration in the adjudication of the claim. The first happens even before the hearing when on two separate occasions he took in reports to the Social Security District Office in South Bend, Indiana, one from a family physician and one from a treating neurosurgeon. These reports were insurance forms where the doctors had over a penalty clause affirming the doctors affirmed that Mr. Thomas was disabled at that respective point in time. These reports somehow did not find their way into the hearing's file. And these were pivotal because the ALJ in this case concluded that the claimant's treating physician concluded that the claimant was capable of work activity, which appeared to be consistent with the findings of the neurosurgeon. Along the way, about the time of Mr. Thomas filing his request for a hearing, his family doctor sent him to a specialist, a Dr. Roboto. Dr. Roboto concluded it was clear that Mr. Thomas was disabled. Mr. Thomas had a severe automobile accident several years ago, in which time he had spastic quadriparesis. He was disabled, he was totally paralyzed with clonus. He recovered from this, but he has residuals of a central cord syndrome. The neurosurgeon notes this, MRI shows this, and the family doctor has adopted the opinion of Dr. Roboto, and he adopts this report and prepares one of these insurance forms in September at the time of the hearing, and Russell Thomas takes that form in to the Social Security office, where Dr. Jacobs, the family doctor, says Mr. Thomas is disabled, and he uses the same diagnosis as Dr. Roboto. In the hearing itself, the ALJ failed to adequately advise Mr. Thomas of his right to and potential need for and benefit of having counsel. And this court has held that under those circumstances, the burden shifts to the government to show that the ALJ fairly scrupulously developed a record. And they're not going to be able to sustain that burden for reasons that we will articulate.
Where is that language from, scrupulously?
That language is from this court's opinion in Binion versus Shalala.
What is that, please? What's that?
That citation, Your Honor, is 587F2nd, 857, 860. It says, where the disability benefits claimant is unassisted by counsel, the ALJ has a duty scrupulously and conscientiously to probe into, inquire of, and explore for all of the relevant facts. It goes on to say, the ALJ's duty to develop the record fully and fairly where the claimant proceeds without counsel is met only if the ALJ probes the claimant for possible disabilities and uncovers all relevant evidence.
The ALJ did discuss Dr. Roboto's evidence, didn't he? What is your concern?
The ALJ discusses Dr. Roboto and says, where the family doctor, who sees him on a linear basis, long-term basis, is saying, and Dr. Jacobs had been saying such things as, I'm not certain that there...
I don't understand. I asked you a simple question.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. The ALJ said he saw, Dr. Roboto saw the patient one time. And because he only saw him one time, I am more inclined to give weight to the family doctor and weight to what I imply the neurosurgeon would say if I knew what the neurosurgeon would say. Mr. Thomas had only returned to the neurosurgeon one time at the family doctor's suggestion, and the neurosurgeon does not give an opinion as to disability at that time. He merely reports, I expect that he does not have problems stemming from the central cord syndrome, but he's very stiff. He needs to work this out.
Well,
and given the pain he's in,
that
I don't think he will be able to.
I'm sorry. Dr. Roboto reached his conclusion without even reviewing the radiographic evidence. Is that correct?
That's what he said. And
I'm asking whether it's correct. I know what he said. I just read it to you.
Well, I assume that he interpreted Dr. Roboto's report correctly. I'm assuming that Dr. Roboto did not have the benefits of the radiation exams. The MRIs were of record before him, as were x-rays, and these MRIs did show that there was softening of the spinal cord itself.
When you say the MRIs were before him,
they were part of the record.
The ALJ doesn't look at an MRI, does he? I mean, what does it mean?
Well, the ALJ is trained in the adjudication of these cases to make some interpretation of the record. He often will cite the MRI evidence.
Tell me, when is a judge supposed to be able to interpret an MRI?
Well, I believe that these judges, of course, have some specialized training.
MRI is an x-ray. You need specialized training to read an x-ray.
And the radiologist reads the MRI.
Is there testimony by a radiologist about the MRI?
Yes, there is a report that the radiologist has interpreted the MRI.
And what did he say?
And he said there was softening of the spinal cord. There was a syrinx, a post-traumatic area on the spinal cord itself, but the neurosurgeon said, I don't think that's causing the disability. The neurosurgeon says, I think it's just his lack of movement and muscle stiffness, and he needs to work that out. And the neurosurgeon in his report said, but given the shape he's in, I don't think he'll be able to do that, or I don't think he will do that. That's exactly what he said, Judge Cotter.
So what does the MRI amount to?
The MRI, I don't think, is too terribly important.
Why did you emphasize it?
I was not meaning to emphasize it, Your Honor. But what I would like to emphasize is that when Mr. Thomas had...
What's the most important point you'd like us to carry away from your argument?
Two things. The hearing in this case lasted 6 pages worth of transcript. A judge who has a duty to scrupulously inquire into and develop all relevant facts. When Mr. Thomas did... That doesn't cover it. When Mr. Thomas filed his application, he said, why did you stop working? He answered, because of my headaches, I was falling asleep at the wheel and almost killed myself a few times. The judge never asks him any questions about his sleep disturbance. The judge does note that he had a...
All right, so one of your points is the judge didn't ask him about about
sleep disturbance.
What's about your other point?
Mr. Thomas, when he filled out his application, when he filed the request for the hearing, he filled out a new set of forms updating his medical. He says, I'm now seeing a psychologist. The judge never asks him any questions about seeing a psychologist. The judge never asks him any questions about his mental impairment.
But doesn't he have to bring something like that up? Doesn't he have to at least, other than say, yeah, I went to a psychologist, he didn't come away saying the guy said this or that or the other. He's supposed to... The judge has to then explore, say, well, what did the psychologist say and what was the result? Or should we get the psychologist's report? What is he supposed to do?
The judge asked Mr. Thomas this, how do you spend your day?
Answering Judge Mannion's question.
Well, I used to work for the Social Security Administration, and in my view of the adjudication, when they see that there is this report, in that there is a new piece of medical evidence under the regulations, they are obligated to get that information. There is allegation of impairment on mental basis. He's going to see the psychologist.
Where is that evidence?
Where is that particular form is found?
What did the psychologist tell him?
That record is, I do not have that information. I believe it is their burden to get that information.
Yes, but when you're challenging, when you're appealing and saying that the record is inadequate, you should make an offer of proof. If the psychologist said nothing, what would be the point of remanding this?
The point of remanding it, again, Your Honor, is principally around the fact that the judge held a 6-page transcript of a hearing where he does not ask any questions regarding sleep disturbance.
To know whether, and when you were in the district court, you should tell the district court if the ALJ had done what he's supposed to do, he would have discovered something X about sleep and Y about the psychologist. As far as we know, there's nothing that the ALJ actually would have found if he had probed further?
Well, when the ALJ did review the one sleep study, the ALJ found that it showed a mild to moderate impairment, when in fact the sleep study of record shows that Thomas has a mild to moderately severe impairment. The record also shows that Thomas had other sleep studies, and the judge did not develop those
at
the time.
Thank you, Mr. Parkman. Separately?
Good morning, Your Honors. Catherine Beverly, appearing on behalf of Commissioner Barnhart. In order to prevail on this claim, Mr. Thomas must demonstrate that there was a significant evidentiary gap in the record that resulted in prejudice. In this case, he's alleging that the length of the hearing resulted in prejudice and that the ALJ did not probe for all relevant disabilities. However, despite what does not appear to be a particularly long hearing, the ALJ did question Mr. Thomas in detail about his functional ability, about his activities, about his use of pain medication, and in several instances asked Mr. Thomas to elaborate further.
Pretty garbled. Okay, I mean, one of the things the ALJ asked the vocational expert, I think this is page 9 of the transcript. The individual had limitations consistent with Mr. Thomas's testimony. Would that individual be capable of any of Mr. Thomas's past employment or any other jobs that assist in significant numbers in the national economy? And the answer is no, Your Honor. But the ALJ just drops it.
Well,
so what's that about?
Well, I think usually ALJs, when they do question a vocational expert, they can ask a number of hypothetical questions. One question could be, a person had these set of impairments that resulted in an ability to perform only light work, which he found in this particular case with some restrictions. Could he perform some jobs or his past job? And the VE said, yes, he would be able to perform his past job as a film inspector. And then he went on to just ask, if we essentially accept Mr. Thomas's testimony as being fully credible and everything that he says...
that's not actually the question, but go ahead.
Limitations consistent with Mr. Thomas's testimony. So to the extent that he testified that he could not work because of his headaches, because of the problems with his legs, his back, his sleep problems, that he would not be able to perform any jobs. However, the ALJ did not find that Mr. Thomas's testimony was fully credible or that the limitations he suggested were necessary were supported by the record, in large part because treating physicians, in this case Dr. Jacobs and Dr. Kucher, who was the treating neurosurgeon, suggested that Mr. Thomas would be able to perform some work activity. Dr. Jacobs stated on three occasions that Mr. Thomas would be able to perform some work. At one point he said sedentary work. At another point he said, I suggest that he attend vocational rehab and I placed no medical restrictions on him at this time. And then he also said, I see no reason for complete disability. Dr. Kucher, who is a neurosurgeon, he examined Mr. Thomas and ordered diagnostic testing, including the MRI, and while there were some abnormalities uncovered, he did not indicate that they would prevent Mr. Thomas from performing any work. And he really concluded that essentially Mr. Thomas needed to exercise his neck, although he was, he had some questions as to whether Mr. Thomas would actually do that. In this case, the ALJ did rely on record evidence, physician opinion evidence concerning...
Well, what about Mr. Parkman says that there's a report that describes his sleep disorder as moderately severe and that the ALJ didn't characterize that correctly. Is that accurate?
The ALJ said that the sleep report revealed mild to moderate sleep disturbance, I believe was the language, when in fact it did say mild to moderately severe sleep disturbance. But in my mind, there's not a real significant difference between those two statements. And at no time did Dr. Jacobs suggest that the sleep apnea would prevent Mr. Thomas from working, even though the ALJ did ultimately conclude that some restrictions were appropriate because of that impairment, and he did limit him to work that would not involve hazards or operating moving machinery. To the extent that he did not obtain the second sleep study report, I mean, there's nothing to suggest that there's anything in that report that would materially impact the doctor's opinion or impact the doctor's opinion or really change the ALJ's decision. And Mr. Parkman has not submitted that evidence, nor has he submitted any of the mental health records, which he alleges significantly impacts Mr. Thomas's functioning, even though he has submitted additional evidence to this court as well as the district court requesting remand. And that is significant, we believe, in demonstrating that, you know, despite his allegations that the ALJ did not fully and fairly develop the record and that he was prejudiced, that that cannot be sustained. If the court has any other questions?
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much, Ms. Beverly. Thank you, Mr. Parkman. Next case for argument is Finney versus Railroad Retirement.